Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. The name Lionel Aldridge is known to several generations of Milwaukeeans. Aldridge played defensive end for some of the legendary Green Bay Packers teams of the 1960s.
When his playing days were over, Aldridge became a sports broadcaster here in Milwaukee and nationally. But a battle with mental illness led him to disappear for years until he recovered sufficiently to come back to prominence here in the 1990s.
But there is a lot to the story of the late Lionel Aldridge that is not well known, and to understand it, you also need to learn another story, that of his former wife, Vicki. Milwaukee Magazine senior editor Howie Magner writes about both of them in a remarkable article in the January issue, and he is with us now. Welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure to be here, Mitch.
Do you think, is this the story of Lionel Aldridge, or is this the story of his former wife, Vicki?
I think it's both. And I was very conscious to make sure that it would be told through their entire family, because sports stars, when you're famous and you play on a great stage like the NFL, especially when you played during the Lombardi era for the Packers, people are naturally going to be drawn to the player. But one of the things I wanted to do with the story was show the behind-the-scenes thing that Lionel's life, for all the ups and downs that it had, also affected all these other people in his life, his friends, his wife Vicki, his daughters, the people who knew him. There's a line in there where Vicki says he affected so many people's lives, and he may not have even known how many. And even in the aftermath of the story, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback and a lot of letters from people whose paths crossed with Lionel, and they say that he still affects them today. They saw this as a reminder, and they were reminded of how friendly he was toward them and how inspirational he may have been during one of the speeches that he gave regarding mental illness and his battles. So as much as Lionel is the central figure in the story, I thought it was really important to make sure that everybody's story was told, because it really is a story about everybody who crossed paths with him.
What really strikes me, especially as the story begins, is that we think a lot about pioneers in sports and in broader life, but we usually think of them in terms of who was the first African American to play baseball or football or what have you. But there's a more subtle pioneering point that took place, and Lionel Aldridge in this case is right in the middle of it.
Right, and I don't think they set out to be pioneers, he and Vicki, when they ended up being basically the first interracial marriage in the NFL. But they were two people who fell in love and wanted to be together. And if they were going to be together and Lionel was going to play the sport that he loved at the highest level, then they basically had to be pioneers. And Vicki will tell you that they couldn't have done that any place other than Green Bay, because the NFL did not want an interracial marriage, at least a large portion, or the powers that be did not want an interracial marriage.
There had been one before, and essentially they were blackballed, right?
Well, yeah. Cookie Gilchrist was a player a little before Lionel's time, and he at the time was dating a white woman, and I believe he may have been engaged to her. And the stipulation for him to get a contract with – it was either – I want to say it was the Browns or whatever team it was. The stipulation was that he would have to stop dating this woman, and he said no. And so he went off to the CFL and he married her, and – even after that, because he married her, they wouldn't allow him back in. So, and Cookie Gilchrist was a great player. I mean, you read the stories about him, and of course we never saw him, but they compared him to Jim Brown. So here's Lionel Aldridge knowing what happened to Cookie Gilchrist, and he wants to marry Vicki. And his concern when he was called into Lombardi's office was, look, I want to marry this woman, but I know what happened to Cookie Gilchrist. I don't want to be blackballed in the NFL if I do this. And, Lombardi, being the man that he was, said, look, you do what's right. I want you to do what's right. You let me worry about the rest. And, Lombardi eventually had to stand up to Commissioner Pete Rozelle. And who in the league could have done that but Vince Lombardi?
But this was not an unqualified success story. It wasn't as though the marriage took place and either of them was accepted even by their teammates or in the case of Vicky, fellow wives.
Yeah, it was a very different time back then, and you and I can't possibly imagine everything that went on. The interesting thing that I heard or learned through the stories that I was told is that it wasn't so much an issue in the locker room because basically they just wanted, you know, Lionel to play and to do his best and to help them beat other teams. Vicky got more of the brunt of it outside because she had a foot in the camp of the white wives and she had a foot in the camp with the black wives, but neither camp really fully accepted her. So as time went on, she eventually found some very close friends, like one or two among the wives, but she never felt accepted during her time in Green Bay. And I'm assuming Lionel didn't either because, I mean, look, Green Bay was a different place back then. There were only a few places that would rent apartments to blacks back then. And it didn't matter if you played for the Packers. So through the kindness of some folks or through the, you know, foresight of some folks, that they you know, found places to live and have their small successes. But by and large, it was a very difficult path for them to travel. And it is kind of remarkable that given everything that was going on, given how unusual their marriage was at the time, that they were able to come out on the other side of it.
Well, and given that all that had taken place while Lionel Aldridge was an active player and all that they survived through, it really seems unfair that so much still had to happen in this marriage after Lionel Aldridge's playing days were over. The racial situation was just one difficult aspect of a double whammy.
Yeah, and you know, it really takes a dark turn. As dark as racism is, you know, the mental illness had a much more direct impact inside the Aldridge home, and its initial misdiagnosis and the fact that, you know, back then mental illness, you know, there wasn't the knowledge base to work from.
Right. If people think today that it doesn't get enough discussion, it really did not get
exactly
any discussion in the early 70s.
You know, Vicky talks about trying to seek help from people and look, this, he's not right. And she couldn't find it. When Lionel was violent with her, she talks about going to the police and they would just, you know, say, hey, Lionel, don't do that again because he played for the Packers. There wasn't the types of intervention that you might see these days back in those days. And so it really becomes a cascading thing. Lionel gets the wrong type of treatment from the wrong types of doctors. And because of that, he eventually becomes a homeless wanderer across the nation, and they divorce, and Vicky goes her way, and he goes his way, and there's some real dark years there for Lionel. And the fact that those years were so dark to me makes his comeback so much more impressive and resounding. The fact that he was able to rebound from being so lost and to come back and not only get back on his own two feet, and he never fully recovered. I mean, it was something that he had to live with throughout the rest of his life. But not only did he get himself right, but after getting himself right, he was able to help so many other people by speaking about his own life and his own struggles and really raising awareness for mental illness, which, as we had discussed, folks just simply weren't aware of it back then.
Well, and the other thing that really strikes me is that Vicky has remarried at this point by the time Lionel is back in Milwaukee, but and she could easily be forgiven for completely turning her back on him, but she never really quite does.
No, she doesn't. And she says despite everything that happened and everything they went through, she never stopped loving him. That is pretty remarkable. And, you know, Vicky's personal life and her personal journey, I think, affected how she wanted her kids to interact with Lionel because, you know, through her interracial marriage with Lionel, because of that, her family turns their back on her for quite some time. And so she's basically estranged from her own father, who she was very close with growing up. They eventually reconcile, but Vicky did not want her own daughters and Lionel's daughters to have the same type of regret that she might have had had she not reconnected with her father. So she was pretty adamant that they have a relationship with their dad. And her husband, to his credit, her new husband, Joe Nelson, was very supportive of that, didn't stand in the way. Joe actually had a pretty good relationship with Lionel himself. So because of that, their daughters, Michelle and Angela, were able to forge a relationship with Lionel that might not have happened otherwise. And they become very important people in his life too. And he becomes an important person in their life.
Vicki most recently has moved back to Utah to be closer to her family. Did you get the sense, is it with some relief that she is talking at such length about all of this stuff that's happened in her life?
Absolutely. I think she reached a point where she wanted the entire story to be told. Bits and pieces of it have been told. But the whole story has never really been told, and especially the parts about the domestic violence. But she, I think, had reached a point in her life where she was ready to just kind of to let it all go. And in the hopes that in reading her story that other people might be helped by it or find inspiration, or that it might move the needle in erasing the stigma around mental illness, or that it might help in some way with race relations today. So I think all those factors kind of coalesced to convince her that this was the time to really share her story in its entirety. And since she's moved to Utah, she made the move in December. She's been very happy. Her relationship with her family back there is very good. She has no regrets of leaving. She loved her time in Milwaukee here, but she thought it was time to go back and really get back into the arms of her family.
And she is in an interracial marriage for a second time.
Yeah.
But the climate is much different than it was 40 years ago.
Yeah, and that's that's one of the things that I actually like about the story is it really kind of shows her almost going full circle. She was basically ostracized from Utah for marrying a black man. And now all these years later, she is embraced in Utah by her family, by people back there, despite the fact that she's married a black man. It's a very different time and a very different atmosphere and a better atmosphere and a better time.
How much time did you spend with Vicki?
Oh, my. Quite a bit. I don't know exactly, from an hourly standpoint. I know we had at least five or six very lengthy interviews. We'd sit down over coffee for, an hour or two at a time. I spoke to many, many of her friends and Lionel's former colleagues. Dave Robinson was very generous with his time. Hank Stoddard, who was Lionel's boss at TMJ, Michelle Aldridge Golding was very generous with her time and reliving some painful memories. Ruth Pitts, Elijah Pitts's wife back in the day, was very, very generous. Kathy Grabowski. So many people were so generous with their time in helping to share Lionel and Vicki's story. And the people at the magazine, the art department, did a great job in making it look great. It was just really a great team effort, and I was just honored to be able to play my part in sharing the story.
Did you get the sense that some of the people you talked to were, as you were sort of unraveling this story, finally connecting the dots, if you will, from, a time that has long passed for them?
Yeah, I mean, and there were – I remember I had a conversation I brought up with Michelle, with Vicki's daughter. I kind of noted how here she's going back to Utah, and it's almost like the perfect ending to the story, and that she's returning with a black man after leaving because she was marrying a black man, or being ostracized because she was marrying a black man. And Michelle said, "Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but that's a really kind of a cool thing that it's coming full circle like that." And yeah, I mean, you would talk to folks and, they shared so many experiences with Lionel at the time, but of course, time fades memories, and they were not reluctant to share all those memories, and they were kind of rediscovering their times with Lionel as we were having these conversations, as I was discovering these things for the first time. It was really a pretty powerful project to work on, and I'm just glad I had the opportunity.
Well, Howie, it's a great article. Thanks so much for sharing it with us.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it.
Howie Magner is senior editor at Milwaukee Magazine. His article on Lionel and Vicki Aldridge is in the January issue, and you can find a link from WUWM.com.
We'll take one last break and then hear about how an already special exhibit at the Jewish Museum of Milwaukee will live on long after the physical exhibit closes. You are listening to Lake Effect on WUWM.